like a stampede back there. Amen. Well, so good. I can't really communicate how wonderful it is to be with you today. It is such a privilege. Just been so excited for this day and for next week. I guess next week is the official day I'm here, so I'm kind of here today, kind of not here, but we'll move forward and see how it works. I'm continued just to be impressed by the generosity, the kindness, and the welcome that you all give, and it just makes me that much more eager and excited to be here full-time with you, and that is coming soon. So before we dive in, I'll just give you a real quick snapshot of where we're at. Bit of a frustrating point. We've had our house close extended two or three times now, so we're waiting to the end of this month, and then it should close. Pray with us that it does, and then we can move forward and move out here and be here full-time early May. So that is where we're at right now. Until then, we'll travel here, and we will be with you. And when we're not here, when we're down in Wilmore, we'll be thinking about you and praying for you, and again, looking forward to being here full-time. It is a bit of a weird thing to be in a limbo. About 50% of our house is packed up in boxes, and we are kind of living that life of the in-between, in transition, and it is a strange feeling. I'm finishing up things there, trying to finish well, but also my mind and heart is here, and I want to hit the ground running and just be present and be among you. So thank you for everything, and so good to be here today. I want to get into God's Word here, and we're going to open up to Genesis 12. Genesis, pretty easy to find, first book of the Bible. Genesis chapter 12, starting at verse 1. We'll read there, and then I will skip over to another verse. You won't have to follow me there, but we'll read those, and we'll pray. Here in Genesis 12, the Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. And I'm going to skip over here and read. You don't have to follow me here. But this is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. "And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I was resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and its power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we need you today. We need you in spirit and power and reality. I read from something that is more than a book, more than just a common book, but a book that communicates and reveals a living faith. And today, Lord, I am lost, I am weak, I am helpless without you, as we all are. So we come to your table and we say, Lord, give us fresh bread. Strengthen us, encourage us, give us your guidance, your wisdom, speak to us through your word, that ultimately we may commune and fellowship with you, the real and living God. Be among us today. Help us. Come, Holy Spirit. Have your way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So I want to begin, and I may sort of hearken back to my first sermon. If you remember when I was here before, I asked us to look at Jesus, and I'm sure that will come up again because that has been something in my mind and heart and where I'm at right now in my own season, my own life. But I want to speak to you today and present to you two things primarily. And with that, hopefully with the Lord's help, give you a sense. I thought, you know, it's always kind of a weird, a bit of an awkward thing as a new pastor to come in and think, well, where do I go? What do I preach from? What is the message they need to hear? And I really don't know the answer to any of that. But again, I want to point you to Jesus, and I want to speak to you today about the call and content of my ministry. And I say my ministry, but I want to say the ministry of Florence Alliance Church, and really it could just be summed up as the ministry of the church at large. The call and content of my ministry and how this extends to the life of Florence Alliance Church, and maybe what we will bring and what we will offer with the Lord's grace and by the power of His Spirit. I'm fully aware this morning of my own need and my own inadequacies and my own past, my own mistakes, and what I bring to this particular and unique spot. But I want to do this in a way that maybe will give you a glimpse, pull back the curtain, so to speak, and give you just a small glimpse of my background and my life and what kind of leads me to the point that we're at today, and that is standing before you as your new pastor. And I don't take that lightly, but as a good burden, it is a good responsibility, and I enter it with joy. And also, as we'll get to here in a moment, a little bit of fear and trembling. But the call and content of my ministry and how this extends to Florence Alliance Church. I thought about, do I begin a series? Maybe not. Maybe that's too early. I do like to do series, and eventually we will get into those. But maybe for the next couple of weeks at least, as we are still transitioning here and we're not quite here full time, I want to just offer a few standalone sermons that may hopefully let you in on the Neville family a little bit, not to make it about me or about us, but to highlight the grace of God in our own life that leads us to this point today. Again, as I said the first time around, before we dive in any further, I want to give honor to the former pastor and his family. I stand here knowing that I stand on their shoulders a bit, and the work and the legacy that they put in here is no small thing, and I give them all the credit and respect and honor, and pray that I can be as faithful as they have been here. So I had a great conversation with Pastor Bill, and a good moment, a touching moment, where he just said, I offer you my support and prayers, and I love those dear people. And I want to say that he has expressed that to me, and I'm so glad to receive his encouragement. Again, I want to also say I express gratitude. I'm thankful that you have issued the formal call to myself and our family to be here. And again, we enter this with great joy, and we are so thankful. Also, I want to be honest today about my own nerves and fears. Who else is nervous for a new pastor? It's okay to shout out amen. You will know this about me, that sometimes I get a little passionate in my preaching. And listen, I welcome response. Amen. Praise the Lord. That is fully okay with me. But it's okay also to be honest today and say there's a little bit of nervousness or trepidation. What is he going to be like? Obviously, different tone, maybe a different style than the last pastor. And I want to just say, listen, I'm there with you. I'm a little nervous, and I trust that God is going to help us all as we journey forward. So that's where I'm at. First, let me talk about the call of ministry, or the call of my ministry. So I use Genesis 12, and you can follow me here. Look at Genesis 12. I use the call of Abram, which of course will become Abraham. The Lord said to Abram, verse 1 of chapter 12, go from your country, your people, your father's household to the land I will show you. We have here a picture, a great picture of an Old Testament saint. In fact, a forefather of our faith, well, the great Father Abraham. We all know the old Sunday school song, Father Abraham. We are the many sons and daughters of that great faith. But we have this great zoomed in look. The Bible starts out with the creation of the world, the creation of the cosmos, and the Lord displays his power. The Spirit moves on the waters, and God speaks everything into existence. He calls everything into existence from nothing, and the Lord orders out of chaos his great order and care for the creation. And it is a global picture, right? From Genesis 1 to 11, we have this general big picture of God's redemptive story just beginning. As God's great desire for mankind is that he would come into the garden and he would walk with Adam and Eve and he would speak to them as a friend face to face, and they would have this intimate and great fellowship and friendship and communion. And of course, we know the story. It doesn't take too long in Scripture. We're just a couple chapters in from Genesis, and then human beings just make a mess of it, right? We fall, we sin, we disobey, we rebel against God's perfect plan. And so God has this ordered Genesis 1 through 11, this big picture, and then we come to chapter 12. And it just seems as if the story abruptly ends and begins anew with one single man and one family in one small location. Here we have the call of Abram. So God says, what I want to do in the world, I'm going to zoom in to one man, Abram, and I'm going to call Abram. And here we have a call to all of us. And I want to say this, and maybe this term applies to you as it does me, but I often describe my own call to the ministry much like the call of Abram here, that it is a very Abrahamic call. And maybe the Lord works with you like he does us. It seems that he has revealed one small step at a time. And it is up to us then to take that step of faith and to obey God and to enter that next step. Do we know what life will be like here in 5, 10, 20 years? We don't, but we step into this next call with faith and trust that God is sovereign and he cares for his church and that he will lead every little detail as he has in the life of Abram. So God calls us, he has called us here to you, he has called you to us, and he has called Florence Alliance to enter this next chapter with a very small step of faith, or maybe a giant leap of faith. But nonetheless, his grace is sufficient for us. So I use this as a starting point to enter this call. Does the Lord work with you in this way? That I'll just reveal just a little bit, and you have to step into it? It doesn't make sense, right? So we have this call from Abram, and we have the covenant that he gives him and the great blessing that he pronounces on him, that I will make your seed as the stars of heaven and the sands of the seashore, that I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. But it had to be God's call intermixed with a human response from one man and one family. This is the Abrahamic call. I wish that God would reveal his entire plan from start to finish. Wouldn't it make our life easier? Right? I'm going to do this, and provision's going to be here, and I'm going to make sure here's what it looks like for your 20-year picture, and everything is going to be grand, but that's not how it seems to work often. Right? Whether we like it or not, God calls one baby step at a time. So here I am before you, and here you are before me. We enter this, and we trust in the Lord. Listen to, again, the call of Abram described in Hebrews 11. It says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. This is God saying, Abram, pick up everything that belongs to you, gather your family, your cattle, and just move forward. Well, Lord, where am I going? I'm not going to tell you yet. Just get up and go. This great step of faith, he launched out by faith, it says. He obeyed the voice of God, and he went not knowing where he was going. Man, that makes a lot of sense, right? By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. Now, here's the key point to this passage. By faith, Abraham launched out, but his motivation for doing so was that he was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God himself. That where God is, that is home for me. The next chapter of our story, the next step in our journey, if the presence of the Lord goes with us, then we will be just fine. Isn't that what Moses said? Lord, if you don't go with us, then just kill me here on this mountain. I can't take one step forward without your presence. Well, I'm here to tell you today that the promise of the Lord is for you and for us, and that his presence will continue to go with us. Amen? He will be with us. He will stick with us. He will not forsake us. That is the key to one step in front of the other, one foot in front of the other, one breath next to the next. It is the presence of God that sustains us and holds us up. Now, I'm a product of this. And again, I wanted to give you a little bit of background context of my own family, my own life, and I want to do this by going way back. Listen, I was an unchurched, bad kid. I was raised in a single-parent home, west side of Columbus, Ohio, in a very rough neighborhood, impoverished community. I saw many things, drug deals, drive-by shootings. In fact, the home that I was raised in was a drug-dealing home. And I experienced in that home abuse, various ways, saw many things a young child should never have to see. So that is sort of my starting point in life. And very early on, I wanted something different. I wanted something more. And as a kid, I thought, man, there's got to be something, there's got to be another way to live. And I was able to catch glimpses of this by friends and family members. And, you know, maybe there is a different path here. And even as a young child, beginning to search for God. Is there meaning? Is there purpose to why I'm here? You know, all these big questions we ask. And the Lord led and guided me. And about 14 or 15, I met this lovely young woman named Rachel. And as many great stories are, starts with I met a girl. And my story is no different. I met a girl, and she invited me to her church, and in fact, her grandmother kind of made me come to church. If you're going to hang around that boy, you need to invite him to church. So there was my first invitation. I came to a church, a small church, full of the Spirit, full of good people, and had no idea what I was going to encounter, but I got there, and I went with her, and at first, I sat there next to her, and I thought, I'm happy. I'm with this pretty girl. Life is good. I'm okay. And the more I came, the more that I was so glad to be next to her, but also so glad to be hearing the message of the gospel. And the pieces begin to fall in place, and I thought, well, maybe I can give my heart to Christ. Maybe there's something real here. There's something to this. And eventually, long story made short, the Lord called me, and about 2 or 3 months into my time there, going with her as a young 14-year-old, 15-year-old, the Lord softened my heart, and I heard the gospel articulated for the first time, and in the capacity that I could respond in that day, I responded and said, Lord, please show me yourself. If you're real, then I need you. And that was a simple, childlike prayer. God, I don't know what to pray. If you're there, then I need to see it. Help me. Help me. And the Lord came into my heart and came into my life. And fast forward several years, and I had an intense hunger for God's word. And I wanted to do something of difference in the world. And I wanted to use this great word of God to make a positive difference in other people's lives. I saw the pastor of that church, and I thought, I want to do that. And maybe I can do that someday and make a difference in someone's life like he has in mine. And here I stand today. Not because of anything of who I am, who anyone is, but simply because of the grace of God. It is all grace from start to finish. It is all the Spirit and the power of God's work in my heart and in my life. Dear church, I am so thankful to be standing here today. I could have took a very different road, a very different path. In fact, I tried a couple of times. And the Lord kept pulling me in, kept pulling me back, kept chasing me down, as it were, to say, no, I've got a purpose, I've got a plan for you. So today, it's not lost on me. I stand here and say, thank you, dear Florence Alliance Church, for giving this boy from west side of Columbus an opportunity to speak God's word to you and to help lead you. What an honor. What an honor. This is the Abrahamic call, one step at a time. You will meet this girl who will become your wife. You will fall in love with God's word. You will have an intense desire to see people come to know Christ. And I don't know at that time what it would look like or what it would sound like, but oh, I wanted to do something with it. So I launched out like Abraham. I dropped everything familiar, and I said, Lord, I'm ready for an adventure. And today I ask you, dear church, brothers and sisters, family of God, are you ready for a new adventure? Are you ready to take one step with me in my own Abrahamic journey and yours to say, we will trust the Lord. He has provided, and we will walk one step forward in faith and obedience and know that God's promises will be there for us. So the promises of God are for those who respond in faith. Look at verses 2 through 4 of Genesis 12. We have this pronouncement of the blessing. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. This is all familiar. We've heard this. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. That's a big promise. That's something that little Abram, from the middle of nowhere, what is he going to do with this? How is he going to make a difference with this? So what does he do? Verse 4, here's the pivot point of this. So Abram went as the Lord told him. That's the start of the adventure of Abraham, who would become the anchor of our faith, who would open up the path, so to speak, of the covenant for God's people. The blessings of God would flow through Abraham to all the nations of the world, primarily and ultimately fulfilled in Christ. Here is the blessing. How is it activated, or how is it turned on the world in mission? Abram went. This is it, right? It's very ordinary. I often think that in the Christian life, we sometimes overcomplicate it, or we over-spiritualize things. You know, we look for every little thing. Well, the Lord is doing this, the Lord is doing that, or I must hear from, you know, I've had times in my own life, speaking from personal experience, where I've just kind of wrestled with the Lord, and I said, God, listen, you've got to show me a sign. You've got to, like, come down from the heavens. I want to be like Joseph, like, come in my dream. Let me know something here. And the Lord often just reminds me that it is about very mundane, every day, Monday through Friday, hit the grind, just get up and go. The Lord meets us when we get up and go. When we step out in obedience and in faith, that is the extraordinary. It is done in the ordinary of life. It is done in the menial tasks of life. So I ask you again, let us journey together and see the blessings of the Lord. And perhaps God is calling you also to step out in faith. Of course, He is doing that as a church right now. Amen? But He's also doing that in your own life. In a zoomed in personal way like Abraham, what is He doing in your own heart? What is He doing in your own family? What is God calling you right now to give to Him, to trust Him with? What step of faith or obedience, or what beginning chapter of the next adventure is God inviting you into? And maybe you're hesitant. Maybe you're thinking, I need this miraculous sign, or I need to see fire from heaven, or I need to, you know, let an angel come to me. Just get up. Trust in the Lord and see the hand of God at work in your life. Now, that is the call. A general picture of the call of my own ministry, a very sped up overview version of it. And with more of our time together, I'm sure you will get more of that story. But I want to focus now on the content of not only my ministry, what I believe to be the content of the ministry of the church, what you will hear, hopefully by God's grace, is the content of my ministry to you and the tone of my preaching and teaching to you, and how I will encourage you. It will be with this basis in mind. This I find in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. I'll read it again. And so it was with me, brothers. Here Paul is speaking. Excuse me. Brothers and sisters, when I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. I gave you a little bit of my testimony a moment ago. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. There's the key phrase. Here Paul is giving a model and a basis for ministers of the gospel, for the local church, for all those who would represent Christ in any form or fashion, even if you're witnessing to a neighbor. What is the subject and the content of your testimony? Sure, it is about your life, right? It is about your personal and unique experience with God, but undergirding all of that, dominating all of that, the goal here is to point people to Jesus. It's not so much to make it about us, but to deflect that, to reflect the glory of God and to say, look, as John did when he baptized Jesus and he came down the way there, what did John say? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away all the sins of the world. I'm not even worthy to reach down and unlace his boots. Here's one who not only baptizes with water, but baptizes in the Holy Spirit. He is going to make the unique and real difference in your heart and in your life, in your church, in your mission, in your ministry. So here is the content of my ministry to you, and maybe it's too simplistic, but this will be worked out in various practical ways. Just like Paul, for I resolve to know nothing except Christ and Him crucified. Plainly put, I am a Jesus man. I hope to preach and proclaim Christ and Him crucified. By God's grace, I hope to not get caught up on secondary issues. But Jesus, it's all about Jesus. It truly is. Again, hearkening back to that first sermon, look at Jesus. He is the key that unlocks everything. If we could point to Him, if we could get people's hearts fastened on Him, if we could witness to our neighbors about Him, using our own unique story and our own unique testimony, we are ultimately saying, listen, the one who has made a difference in my life, the one who has pulled me from those streets in that neighborhood, the one that has anchored my heart to love and to fellowship with Him, not to drugs or to violence or to the old life, but to Him. It is Jesus Christ. Dear church, it is all about Jesus. And here Paul goes on and he elaborates a bit. Look at verse 3. That's the subject. That he has a one-stringed, you know, guitar, a one note, one tune, one song. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I mean, don't you get that from Paul? When you read the letters, it's like, man, the guy's saying the same thing over and over and over in every letter, just said a bit differently. Ephesians, Colossians, Romans, Corinthians. Man, what's all this talk about the riches and the grace of God in Christ? In Christ, here is the one note, the one string, the one song. It is Jesus and none other. By God's help, I hope that also to be the tone of my ministry to you. But he goes on. Look at verse 3. He talks about his own posture. His own posture. He says, in verse 3, I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling, and I confessed to you earlier, also I come to you with great weakness and fear and trembling. Because I do not want to put my hand to the ark, as it were, and try to control what the Holy Spirit has for this unique body of Christ. I come with great fear and great trembling. But the hope is also here that I can come with a demonstration of the Spirit's work. And that is why I shared some of my testimony with you. The power of God has been at work in my own life and in my own heart to bring me to this very spot before you today. And He has uniquely prepared me for a task such as this. Though in myself I am weak, in Christ we are strong. Again, let me give some backup scriptures to show you the emphasis of the ministry, the content of the New Testament. Look at, you don't have to turn here, but let me read this to you. 1 Corinthians 15, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you have received and you take your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. It is that important. For what I have received, I passed on to you as of first importance, of the utmost importance. What is that? That Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scripture. The ministry of the early church, Acts 5:42, sums it up this way. Day after day, in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ or the Messiah. That text was the great famed Charles Spurgeon, the Baptist preacher. That was his text of his first sermon when he went to the tabernacle in London. And these are his words, and I want to use his words today as I come to a close here. He says, I would propose that the subject of the ministry of this house, as long as this platform shall stand, and as long as this house shall be frequented by worshipers, shall be the person of Jesus Christ. My venerable professor, Dr. Gill, he's speaking of the former pastor, and maybe I could insert Pastor Bill's name here. has left a body of work admirable and excellent in every way. But the body of divinity or work to which I would pin and bind myself forever, God helping me, is not his system or any other human treatise, but Christ Jesus, who is the sum and substance of the gospel, who is in himself all theology, the incarnation of every precious truth, the all-glorious personal embodiment of the way, truth, and life. Dear friends, that is Christ and Christ alone. Paul's posture in hope for the people, weakness and fear, trembling before his responsibility, but his hope is this Holy Spirit-led transformation in a continual reliance on God's power. I will reiterate to you over and over again, it is not in me. It is not in any single person. It is in Christ. And Christ works in his body. We need each other. This is the body of Christ. And as we are united in Christ and united in love and fellowship, God does his best work there. We are Alliance people. Maybe you know a guy by the name of A.W. Tozer. Some of you. He said this, anything God has ever done, he can do now. Anything God has ever done anywhere, he can do here. Anything God has ever done for anyone, he can do for you. Here is a complete and total trust in the power and in the Spirit of God. That won't be the first time I quote A.W. Tozer. You'll hear from him a lot. Let me close with this, and I know they have a song prepared. They're going to come up and conclude our service with a song. And as they sing, I want to say, right before, I want to say a prayer. And I'm going to pray through Ephesians 1:15-19. It's a prayer from Paul along these lines about his desire for the people. And I want to use some of his words and pray through it. I want to pray it over you and over myself, over our family, over us together for the journey that we are beginning today. So I'll pray this, and then they'll sing their song, and I want to encourage you as they sing. You will know this pretty quickly, and I hope to invite you often to respond to God's word. I believe that there is an authentic expression, a reality, an experience for us as we respond to the teaching and preaching of God's word. So I will just start right away. As I finish praying, I want to just, if you felt led to just come as we sing our last song, as you worship at your seat, or even if you want to come up here and just talk to the Lord, to respond to God's word in faith and be like Abraham, to just get up and respond. If you know Christ, then the goal is to know him better. If there's one person in here, as I can't presume to know the hearts and souls of all the people, if there's one person in here who does not know Christ, then the invitation is wide open for you to come and pray. I will be more than glad to pray with you or even stay afterward and answer questions as best I can about your faith. So I want to give that invitation. So let me pray. Father, God, as we come before you yet again today, what a privilege, what an honor to be here, to be with your dear people at Florence Alliance Church. I know that you have great things in store, and you're working in their lives, you're working in my family, and you're bringing us to this point together. But right now, O Lord, I want to offer up this great prayer for this congregation and for myself. My prayer is this: with great thanksgiving, O God, I come to you in Christ. You are all good, all holy, glorious, all powerful. But Father, I pray this, that you would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know Christ better. I pray that the eyes of our hearts may be opened, may be enlightened, in order that we might better grasp a hold of the hope that we have been called into. This great gospel, that we may walk worthy of it, that we might at least start to understand a sense of the riches of your glory and the inheritance that you have put within your holy people, the church. holy yet broken, yet fallen, yet we fight in war with ourselves and this world and sins and temptations, yet you have called us holy. You have dressed us in white robes, not of our own making or our own doing, but purchased by Christ at the cross of Calvary. Oh Lord, I pray that as I begin my time in ministry here, that you would help us make it about Christ, the gospel, and that we would see it make a difference in the lives of the people here and in this community, and of course in foreign missions, as they have continued to do, as they have done long before I got here. Continue your work through them. And I praise you, O Lord, for this dear congregation, and I pray your great blessing upon them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise you today. In Christ's name, amen. As they sing, I invite you to pray for one another, to come up if you felt led to pray, and give you an open invitation. Let's worship.